Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, what you got? That's right. What language am I speaking?
Well, that's my question.
Sko, what you got? I think it's the hyphenated language is what it is. I could talk in pirate language because now there's a Bible translation. I was thinking about that Bible translation, the pirate Bible translation. How many people are out there that speak pirate? And isn't that really just more like made up from cartoons and old? Every sailor. In old movies. Hey, we're going out to sea, don't you know? And then that's all I got. That's all I can do for pirate impersonations. Please send whatever you have to... Some people have actually said I over-articulate. I find that hard to believe. Please send your stuff that's wretched, if you would be so kind, to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, you can text or leave a voicemail, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is for Mark. Mark, he wants to know, he texted this in, Todd, fall is approaching. When's the launch of the expansion of Gospel Partners Media happening?
Oh, look at... No, you're just setting me up.
It seriously is.
You're playing with me. I think you're going to have to wait till next week to discover that it's going to be October 1st, because I can't tell you that right now. We're working like a nobody's business here, believe me. Even Jimmy's shaking his head. Yeah, we're... Hey, this gives me a great opportunity. Jimmy, how much of your day is dedicated to our new podcast? That answered the question right there. Jimmy's working hard on it. Bruce is working hard on it. Jason is working hard on it. Matt, Ed, Kelly, just everybody is working. Emily, not so much. But everybody else, I can say that because she's my daughter and she loves that kind of love language, right? That's actually one of the things I learned as a dad so early on. Sarcasm, it might be appropriate with your sons, but it ain't with your daughters. Don't do it. But she's an adult now, so I can. Yes, I'm writing these rules as I go to suit myself. So to everybody here at the ministry who has been working really hard, I hope that what we have to offer is going to be exciting to you every single day, give or take. It's like 5 to 7 new resources every single day. It's going to be audio and video mostly. We'll maybe get into the written word later, but right now it is going to be new podcasts. It is going to be hot takes on subjects. It is going to be director's cuts. It's just going to be helpful. And every day we're going to send, if you get the Christian Post or Not the Bee email, you will see they have like the stories that they think are important for Christians to read or whatever it is that they think is funny at Not the Bee. Well, that's what we're going to do. But it's all theology. It's all teaching. It's all designed to help all of us, not to pontificate, but to help. And we will be launching that October 1st. And I'm also not supposed to tell you with a brand new name, but I can't tell you that. So wait for next week when we'll actually talk about it. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Stacy. Todd, I know the Bible speaks of unequally yoked marriage and that is believer, non-believer, but what about mixed race relationships?
Got to look for a Bible verse that says you can't do that. I don't see it. The Bible identifies that there are different ethnicities, and that can include skin color, but it doesn't have to include skin color. You know, you can be a different ethnicity because of your zip code, not just your skin color. And the Bible does not, despite what some believers apparently thought in America, does not prohibit that. So it's not a sin. It's a sin to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because that is a testimony issue. Skin color? That just is, there's just no Bible verse that would say, you can't do that. Therefore, there is liberty. And now, if you are considering doing that, I do think that you need to maybe be asking some questions that maybe are going to be answered differently today than they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But let's not be naive. People are going to notice. You just need to work through those things. You need to be prepared for those things. You need to equip your children for those things. I think actually in America, most likely there's an increased acceptance in seeing a mixed race marriage. But I suspect there's still probably some issues that go with that. I don't know, family issues. But work through those. And unless you got a Bible verse that says it's a sin, I would say you can say I do. Hey, so you got anything else for that, Jimmy?
No, I think you brought it pretty much.
I know the Mormons would have a problem with that. They did for, you were going to look that up. What year? Yeah, tell me that statistic. Do you recall? We talked about this yesterday with Glenn Beck.
1978.
Was the year that they did what?
They released the official Declaration II, which lifts the racial restrictions. And in 1978, it was later adopted as scripture. I didn't know that's how that worked.
Oh, is that how it's done? You humans ratify it and then it becomes script. Okay, got it. I think I see how that's all backwards. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Eddie. Todd, my wife and I were married at the courthouse and not in a church. Does God honor this marriage or are we in sin?
God absolutely honors it. And no, you are not in sin. Unless you've got a Bible verse that says this needs to be done like this, what we see, really 1 Corinthians 7, I think, recognizes that there are people who were not Christians who got married. How did they get married? God recognized that the individual, two pagans get married, one of them gets saved. And God doesn't say marriage is invalid because it didn't happen inside of the church. If you make any sort of public declaration, a till death do us part covenantal agreement, it doesn't need to be done in the church. I believe there should be witnesses. I think we see that that's important in the Bible. Typically with cutting of a covenant, there would be witnesses. But if it's not done inside of a church, you are still married. Having said that, why wouldn't you get it done in a church? Because marriage is all about the gospel. Marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. Marriage is all about God's goodness and it speaks to our culture, and it's God's institution. And if we're going to make a vow, shouldn't it be with the other person and with God? So you don't have to get married in the church, but I sure think that I don't think a Christian, I would not say you're sinning if you're a Christian and it's not done in a Christian ceremony. I'm not saying necessarily in the building. I'm just saying a Christian ceremony. You're married, but I would simply encourage you to consider why you wouldn't want it to be a Christian ceremony, why you wouldn't want it to be about Jesus Christ, why you wouldn't want the people who attended it to hear that this is actually more going on in front of your eyes than a woman in a white dress and a dude in a very uncomfortable tuxedo and shoes that are too tight. It is about Jesus Christ and his church. It is about procreation. It is about pleasure. It is about a partnership. It is societal glue. It's familial glue. It is all of those things because that's the way that God designed marriage. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Peter. Todd, what does it mean when studying church history when someone is called a divine?
That's a title. That they were really theologically smart. It wasn't supposed to be more of an academic title than indicating that they're divine. They just know a lot about the divine. Speaking of church history, question. What do we do with a lot of those writings from the divines? Because the Roman Catholic Church has elevated many of those things to the level, in fact, sometimes superseding scripture alone, which is why Jesus tagged the Pharisees on this. Hey, your traditions of men don't, nope, it's Bible alone. And but having said that, we don't want to burn our libraries with books from the divines. We glean from them. We recognize that they lived at a particular time. They had particular influences on them. They were writing in a particular context. They didn't have as much amassed knowledge as we do, because every single century that goes by, we're going to, the church, 100 years from now, the Christians, they should be smarter than we are, because they've had an entire another century. Wish the Lord wouldn't linger that long, but they'd have had another century of study and preaching and books. And so we look back at these guys and we recognize, wow, we actually probably know more than they do. I'm not saying we're smarter than those guys, and we think about things as long, but we just have more amassed knowledge. So we glean and we filter even the divines through the filter of Scripture. You eat the meat and you spit out the bones. We don't toss them out on their ear. But I would say this, because so often, especially with the early church fathers, there was enough, they were wrestling through stuff and figuring things out, and there's some bones in there. If you don't know how to recognize those bones, or if those bones cause you to choke, it's probably better to wait. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines, providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby, 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Did you know that in the time it takes for you to listen to this message, dozens of college students will question their faith? It's a pretty sobering thought, but here's the good news. You can help change that narrative. Right here at Wretched, we're tackling tough questions head on. You ever listen to Witness Wednesday? If you haven't, I urge you to do so. And I urge you to also check out Road Trip to Truth, where we help young people stand firm in their faith. But we need your help to keep this mission rolling. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're investing in the next generation of believers. And don't worry, because it is extremely important to us that we're good stewards of your gifts. We're ECFA certified and approved, which means we're held to the highest standards of financial accountability. There's no private jets around here, folks, just efficient, effective ministry. Your support helps us to create compelling content that does not make Christians blush, but does make unbelievers think. If you're ready to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, visit wretched.org/donate, and let's partner together to share the gospel with millions. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you, because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe, and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1854. Charles Haddon Spurgeon becomes pastor in London and will go on to become one of the most influential pastors ever. He was the central figure in defending the gospel against compromise during the downgrade controversy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What hath thou? This is, I'm trying to overcompensate for my rather low lingo. Sup? Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Whenever you see something wretched, what's wretched? A story, article, sermon, illustration, anything. Send it to idea@wretched.org. You're saying, Friel, we need an example of that. Well, I happen to hold this in my hand to share an example because I can't figure out any other place to insert this particular article that I would not have seen if you hadn't sent it to idea@wretched.org. Headline, Writing Prayers for Others. This is by KennethBirding.com. When someone is suffering, I found that a written prayer that includes the kind of things I'm already praying for these people, to write it, rather than saying, I'm praying for you, write down what you're praying. Maybe you should consider incorporating written prayers into your correspondence with others. You've received those emails, haven't you? Where somebody informs you that something bad has happened. Okay, I'll pray for you. I'm going to be praying for you. In fact, I'm going to pray for you right now and put it in print so that you can know how you're being prayed for. And you say, well, that's maybe okay. Seems like it's a little much. Not according to the Apostle Paul. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, writes Paul to the Ephesians, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That, so now he's going to tell them what he's praying for. Paul did this, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He told them exactly what he was praying for. Do you have to include everything? No, maybe you could start out with something as simple as, I'm praying that you will have peace as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be praying to the God of all comfort that he comforts you through this. I'm going to be praying for your children that their faith in Jesus will not be wobbled because of what you're going through. How encouraging is that? And that article would have never been found if you hadn't sent it to idea@wretched.org. 877-282-2337. That's the short form. You can text stuff or leave a voicemail. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous, texted in. Todd, how should the Christian rightly view parachurch ministries? Are they biblical or not? If they are biblical, how should a parachurch ministry rightly submit and operate under the authority of the local church?
Yep, all great questions. There's nothing in the Bible that describes parachurch ministry. So if you're saying, are they biblical? You can't say that they're biblically mandated, nor can you say they're biblically forbidden. It's a more recent invention. Organizations sort of like ours that are not, we're not a church here. By the way, I have noticed a lot of nonprofit Christian parachurch ministries are identifying themselves as churches. It might have to do with protections, liberty protections. It might also have to do with annual auditing. A church does not get audited. A church doesn't have to audit itself. We do. Every single year, the accountants invade this place, and wow, do they dig. I mean, you might find this interesting, whether you're a bean counter or not. They go through like credit card statements, and then they identify a particular charge on the credit. So they get the credit card statement, then they get the receipt, and then they will highlight one of the items on a receipt, and you have to justify that expense. And they do like over 100 of those. They just go and look and digging. And it isn't the most pleasant experience every single year. So I think maybe that's the reason some people are trying to do that. Nevertheless, parachurch ministries, I believe, are not forbidden, nor are they commanded, but we can exist in service to the local church. If the parachurch ministry exists to dictate to the church, then they are very confused about the pecking order. That it is the local church that we should all be striving to strengthen, that we all desire to be promoting and speaking as many good words about as we possibly can. We get so many bad words spoken. There was an article, I've got it here someplace. I'm not going to read it to you because of this very thing. It's a mega church that you know about, and somebody has a complaint against the church and the way that this individual was treated. That's in the news? A local church issue is in the news with one side of the story. Now, look, I don't know the detail. If you know what story I'm talking about, I'm not adjudicating the case. I'm just saying to print one side of the story, which will make this local church look bad, we got plenty of that going on. We shouldn't, but we do. And we should be speaking good words about the local church. So a parachurch ministry, neither commanded nor forbidden, they can operate. But if they are not with a high view of the local church, I don't think it's a safe parachurch ministry. And having a connection with a local church, that's one of the reasons that I'm so thrilled here. Alpharetta Bible Church started. That there's this parachurch ministry did not start a church. That would be backwards. That would be way wrong. A church should be starting a parachurch ministry, not vice versa. And so this ministry sits in service to the local church. If you go read through any of our docs, you're going to see that repeatedly. We exist for a number of reasons. One of them, there's others, but one of them is to serve the local church and to encourage pastors. And I'm so looking forward to this. I think we've mentioned in about 2 weeks, we're going to be launching something really, really big. And it is really big. We're adding 8 new voices to this ministry. Tons of new resources every single day are going to be cranked out of here, and they're all going to be quality, and they're all going to be so helpful. But that's just phase one. We've got phase two planned for next year, and then we've got phase three planned for the year after that. And that those phases include, how can we help local churches? This is something that the Lord taught me long ago. We receive emails like the ones that Jimmy will read. And I have read, no doubt I've read thousands. I've probably read tens of thousands of those without exaggerating over the years. I'm pushing 25 years now. Tens of thousands of those. And here's what I know. We're all hurting. We've all got bag loads of issues. I'm not talking about personality picadillos. I'm talking about struggles. I'm talking about challenges. I'm talking about people who are living with chronic pain every second. It just hurts. The Lord has actually given me a taste of that lately. It doesn't hurt when I sit down in a particular way. Standing up, like at the moment, if I stop talking, I feel the ache. But as long as my brain is distracted, I don't. But if I stop, I'm hoping it's going to go away. I was told it's not a bulging disc. It's a swollen something. I don't want to get all technical with the medical lingo here, but apparently it's going to get better. But wow, the Lord taught me. It's like, can you imagine? And this pain, that where the place that I went to that's trying to help me with this, they said, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. I hate that question. I'm an 8 again. I don't know what the... I'm a 5. I mean, what would it be like if like you took a hammer and hit me on the big toe? I guess that would be like closer to a 10. And there's certain pains that in your body that it's like the most, like breaking a femur, I hear, ain't fun. That's a 10. So I don't know. I'm like a 4 or 5, but I don't want to exaggerate and offend people who are in worse pain than I am, but I don't want to underestimate it so they just dismiss me. Here's another question I'm never fond of from the medical provider. Hey, Jimmy, I'm your doctor.
Okay.
You're here to see me today about that earache that you've got?
Yeah.
Describe that pain for me.
It hurts.
Uh-huh. What kind of pain is it? Is it a throbbing pain? Is it an aching pain? Is it a shooting pain? Is it a piercing pain? Is it a hot pain? I don't know. It just hurts. We can stop when y'all. So we exist to serve the local church. And we want to make sure that our attitude about the local church is more important than this ministry. If you gave me a choice in saying, which one will endure, this ministry or that church that's faithful to the word of God that has been preaching rightly, one of you has to go. We go. We go. Why? Because the local church, that is God's ordained means. It doesn't mean that there can't be other organizations that serve God's people, but it is the local church that is indeed God's ordained means. And it's so important for you to be there. I plead with you. I beg you. You watch your life change by becoming a serving member and a serving and giving member of a local church. It'll change your life. And the reason is because it's the local church that is indeed God's ordained means for your super sanctification. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hanks. We start in Manitoba, Canada, where the Hanover School Division is getting an unwelcomed visitor, a government advisor, to oversee their activities. Why, you ask? Well, it seems like some trustees had the audacity to participate in the 1 million March for Children rally. Oh, the horror. This area is known for its strong Mennonite community. You know, Mennonites, kind of like the Amish, but a little more lenient. These are folks who prefer a more traditional lifestyle, but apparently living according to one's deeply held beliefs now grounds for government babysitting. Well, at least in Manitoba, Canada, it is. Moving on to another silencer, Vice President Kamala Harris, who vows to fight any national restrictions on ending the lives of the unborn. Of course, you've been following the story like most of us have. She promises to sign legislation restoring reproductive freedom nationwide. I just kind of wonder how freedom can be restored to those whose lives are ended before they draw their first breath. The vice president is also a big champion of the so-called Equality Act, which, despite its noble-sounding name, would force states and localities to accommodate nearly every aspect of the LGBT agenda. Not very equal if you're forcing someone to do what you want them to do. That sounds more Marxist. Anyway, speaking of Marxists, California, who's ever at the forefront of progressive policies, now considering a law that would require health insurance companies to cover in vitro fertilization treatments for single individuals and same-sex couples. Apparently, the natural order of things just so passe these days. SB 729, which is sailed through the state legislature, would mandate coverage without discrimination on the basis of age, ancestry, color, disability, domestic partner status, gender, gender expression, gender identity, genetic information, marital status, national origin, race, religion, sexual orientation. Did they leave anyone out? The state senator who authored the bill proudly declared that it will ensure that queer couples no longer have to pay more out-of-pockets to start families than non-queer families. A recent North Carolina poll revealed some insights into public opinion on the sanctity of life. The McLaughlin Group surveyed 1,000 likely general election voters. The results, well, they may surprise you just a little. 71% of respondents said they would allow the ending of the lives of the unborn, but only in the cases of saving the mother's life, serious risk to the mother's health, rape, or incest. I'm not saying that I agree with all of those reasons, but it is kind of a far cry from anytime, anywhere narrative that we've been hearing quite a lot. Even more telling, 64% of those polled disapproved of using the procedure as a method of birth control. The poll also found strong opposition to using taxpayer dollars to fund the procedures. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So, like I was saying, but didn't. This is Wretched Radio. It was my backache. It distracted me from the point of bringing up that we've received so many emails. And when I say so many, over the years, if I had to guess, over 100,000 emails of people who are hurting and struggling and in pain. And they're seeking some sort of resolution to their problem. And I've seen those emails. I read them. I try to respond to them. And we will do whatever we can here as a parachurch ministry to help anybody. But most of the time, my encouragement is, please get your elders involved. Please start working with people in your church. Please, biblical counseling in your church. And the reason that I encourage that, not so that we just brush people off, but because we're very limited in what we can provide. Now, for instance, we could provide, somebody sends in an email and they say, hey, my marriage, my husband, my wife, we will send you something like Drive-By Marriage. We encourage you, listen to these lectures together and go through the study guide together, because we believe that they are so profound, they can get your marriage back on track. And if your marriage is on track, but maybe you're not traveling as fast as you once were, this will help you pick up steam. It'll help a good marriage to be much better. We have full confidence in Drive-By Marriage, and we'll send it. But so often, marriages, the complexities of marriage, the deep, profound wounds that come from marriage, there's not no pain like family pain, is there? We can only go so far. That's got to be dealt with in the context of the local church, with somebody who can sit with an individual, ask questions about things. Tell me about this. When did that start? Do you think that representation of what you do is accurate? What do you think is in your heart? Why are you doing that? I mean, they get in there and they do surgery. We can't do it as a parachurch ministry. And that is what God taught me over the years, that we serve the local church. We don't take the place of the local church. We can't take the place of the local church. This wouldn't even work because it's not even in person, and wouldn't do worship together on Sunday. Let's just say we kicked out all of the production, everybody that's at this ministry, and we just filled up offices with counselors. Go ahead and call the counselor, and you can call, and we'll even set up appointments, and you can have an appointment where every week you meet with a counselor. That would be helpful. Not as good as a local church. With that individual who sees you then in the hallways, who knows whether you're attending services, are you participating in the life of the church, asking you questions throughout the week, checking in on you, coming over for dinner, inviting you over for dinner. That's the context of the local church. That is just one of the reasons the local church is far more important than parachurch ministries. And I don't care which one you're thinking of. This one, you name any of your favorite ministries, and they're excellent. Don't get me wrong. There are some ministries that we get to work with, and I'm telling you, we get to work with them. It is such a privilege and such a joy to work with some of the ministries that we get to partner with. It's unbelievable what an honor it is. And if I got all of those guys in a room, you know what they would say? The exact same thing I'm saying, that their parachurch ministry, it does not take the place of the local church. It serves the local church. idea@wretched.org. That's the email address to send whatever you want that's wretched. Don't forget 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Adam. Adam, Todd, I want to make sure my son is fully ready and understands what baptism truly means. Mm-hmm. What are some questions I should ask him to make sure he's fully ready to take that step?
That's a good on you. Was that mom or dad, or do we not know?
Adam, so dad, I hope.
I think that you're assigning a gender to a name.
I am.
And you need to, you're racist, sexist, you're something. You're a phobe of some sort, I'm sure of it. What should you ask your kid before they get baptized? That is, I think there's a number of questions, but the big issue is making sure as best you are able that they're genuinely saved. That's all. Focus. So what question? Son, you want to get baptized. Awesome! Because you want to be encouraging. You don't want to be discouraging. Tell me why. What do you think baptism is? Why is it that you want to go up in front of the body and get dunked in a jacuzzi? What do you think that represents? Oh, when did that happen to you? What happened to you? Tell me when you believe that you were born again from above. And if they have holes in it, ask them questions, because so we got to be so careful with this. There's really is a tender balance, especially with our children. And we almost always want to. What do they call that when I take my stuff and I put it on you? There's a psychological term. I impose it or I project it. I project whatever it is that I'm thinking on you. Ah, you're doing that because in my heart, I'm actually thinking this, whatever that is. I have a tendency to project where I think my children should be in sanctification and knowledge and articulation, at least where I am, and better yet, where John MacArthur is. That was, now there we're talking right. Hold on a second. They're kids, and they might be new to the faith, and they have not had decades to study. I shouldn't have that expectation. So I'm not going to get freaked out if they don't include certain components in their testimony, necessarily. I might, but not necessarily. So they might leave something out. For instance, they leave out the ascension of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to ask them about it. And if they know it, then it's like, great, we're good to go. Now, if when you are talking to your child, or this also has to do if you're an elder or you're involved in church membership and the interviews that most churches do, that everything is like, you got to pull it out. Well, then you would be right to say, I think that we might be wise here to just put this off a little bit because I'm not hearing you bringing these issues out unless, of course, it has my prompting. So I'm a little concerned about this. So let's just give that some time. So there is a balance there. But if your kid doesn't know, so tell me exactly the Belgic Confession of Faith. What year? And if they don't know it, I'm not going to freak out over some things. So ask them questions about their salvation. Ask them about essential issues. And then ask them, perhaps, there's so many things you could ask, but ask them perhaps about how they're growing, how God is changing them. Because they, look, even that they might not know, because it's a kid, might not know those things, but you should be seeing those things. And that child, most like if that child is saved, should be able to identify, even if they have to think about it a little bit. You know, now that you bring it up, Dad, I don't know if you know this, but I know I'm supposed to be in bed at 10 o'clock, but I read my Bible with my flashlight in the bedroom. Okay, now we're talking here. You're seeing some fruit in keeping with repentance. And find that wise balance. I'm not expecting too much, but not expecting nothing. Jimmy, you got anything else that you would be inclined to ask a kid?
No. I mean, I think you pretty well hit all the major things.
I would say this, though, speaking of baptism, I have noticed the trend inside of even Baptist churches that there is not much of an emphasis on baptism. Have you been baptized? Please. Get baptized. I think we're doing baptisms at Alpharetta Bible in a couple of few, soon. We're doing some, I think we've got four baptisms. This last Sunday, what a delightful day it was. 40 new members at Alpharetta Bible Church, the founding class. It was just so sweet. And baptisms, I cannot wait. Bless your local church and simultaneously be obedient to the Lord's first command upon being saved. Get yourself dunked. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, if people have free will, then is it possible for Christians to sin in heaven?
No. Absolutely, positively not. If we can sin in heaven, then all of God's glorious promises about eternal life would be null and void. So there is no way you're going to be able to sin. You are going to finally be what you already are. You're going to be glorified. You're not going to have a desire for sin. It's going to be gone. You are just going to be loving the Lord, loving one another, and thoughts about it would be like, why would I? Your perspective on sin will be so exponentially magnified. Because right now, there's certain stuff we see, and it's like, well, that's really disgusting. Lying, well, you know, sometimes telling lies, just, you know, we tend to minimize. When we are, because we're going to be experiencing the reality of everything that we've been longing for, and that We are going to be appreciating the Savior for his goodness. If we do think about sin, it is only going to be to enjoy the Savior more. Wow, can you believe we did those stupid things? I actually thought that was pleasurable. How dumb was I back then? Because now you're going to know that sin, you're not going to want it because you've got the best thing that there is, Jesus Christ, and anything else, including what you perhaps are struggling with, even now, by comparison, you're not going to want anything less than the best. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth for tough questions, get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org because, look, winging it only works in bird watching.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is a test. This is only a test. This is Wretched Radio. The person taking the test is going to be the one, the only, handsome Jimmy Hicks. Jimmy, I was thinking about you this morning.
Oh, you were.
If you had been in rock and roll, you would have been jamming Jimmy Hicks. If you had been in smooth jazz, you'd have been jazzy Jimmy jazzy Hicks. Yeah. But you were in country, so you're handsome. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Handsome Jimmy Hicks, as best you can remember, I have to confess this. Maybe I shouldn't confess this. I've known the Masters University, I don't know how many years. I've been to the campus multiple times. I'm very familiar with this university out in Los Angeles. But I went to the website and looked for all of the programs that they offer. I had no idea. Jimmy, can you name, go ahead, off the top of your melon, start naming the programs that they offer, the degrees that they offer at the Master's University.
Accounting.
You're right.
Marketing, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Business, management, that type of thing.
Agriculture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. I was surprised at that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's finance. Yeah, it's business. It's also science. Science at a Christian university? Yeah. Christians were the ones who led the way in science. Yes. You've got a question, young man?
No. Biblical counseling. Oh. I know that. Dr. Greg Gifford.
And they've got an undergrad, a grad, and a the point is, Masters U, if you've perhaps not considered Masters University for your education or for your child's education because you thought, well, they just teach Bible. Oh, they teach Bible in every field, but they teach so many different diplomas and degrees and so many options. I encourage you to check them out. masters.edu/wretched. masters.edu/wretched. You might even discover something that's like, hey, I never even thought about pursuing that. That would be awesome. masters.edu/wretched. When you're done with that chore, please send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I have a friend who believes that God is regularly audibly speaking to him. How do I lovingly tell him that's not God?
Hold on one second.
Are you getting a word?
Yeah, I'm getting a word. God told me that he's not talking to you. So stop it. You could try that. Probably not going to work. I was listening to Glenn Beck with Tucker Carlson. It was amazing to listen. So here's the answer to the question. All right, do we all agree that Mormonism is outside of Orthodox Christianity? Yes. Okay, so Glenn Beck is outside of Christian Orthodoxy. So Glenn Beck, if God speaks to people audibly or sense or a nudge or a still small voice, certainly Glenn Beck wouldn't be able to receive communication from God. Would we agree on that? Great. Glenn Beck thinks God talks to him. So what's going on in Glenn Beck's head? What's happening there? He thinks that God is giving him some sort of unction or even saying particular things. And I heard the Lord say, okay, well, we know that he wasn't. So what was going on? It's Glenn's brain. I could do that right now inside of my head. So can you think about some issue that's going on in your life. And, you know, so Lord, tell me what you would have me to do. And you can put words in the Lord's mouth and say, well, that's what he's telling me. Well, no, he's not. That's you telling you inside of your brain. How do I know this? The doctrine is called cessationism, that God has stopped speaking directly to people through dreams, through visions. In these latter days, Hebrews 1, he's spoken to us through his Son. We have everything we need. The admonition at the end of Revelation 22 is anybody who adds to this book, anybody who comes along saying, got a new word from the Lord, that's a big no-no. Furthermore, the doctrine of sufficiency, one of the aspects of bibliology we tend too often to overlook these days, the defense of the sufficiency of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture, both old and new. We don't unhitch anything inside of the Bible. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work. You got everything you need in the Bible. God doesn't need to talk to you. If God is talking to you, that would be an indication his word isn't sufficient, but it is. And so we hear from God through the word of God, and you say, wait a second, now what about preaching? What about fellowship? How does that feed us? Like Acts 2:42 talks about. It's because when you're getting preached at, you're hearing the word of God. When you go to an individual in church saying, could you help me with that? I'm confused about this. And they give you information that is Bible-based. Yes, that is God speaking to you through the teaching of the word. But he doesn't communicate audibly. This has brought about so much chicanery. This has brought about so much heartache, so much confusion, so much dissension. The Bible's sufficient. It has everything we need for life and godliness. So to your friend, I would share all of those things. And how do you know that's God? You could do some interrogating. How do you know that's God? How do you know that's not the devil? Is there a difference in the tone? Do you ever hear, I want you to go and I want you to take your car to that auto mechanic over there? Because that would be the devil. That's what he sounds like, apparently. Sort of sounded like the pirate Bible, didn't he? The devil? See, that's the problem with the pirate Bible. It's the devil's Bible is what I'm trying to say to you. How do you know that it's God speaking to you? How could it be a spirit influencing? How do you know it isn't the pepperoni pizza? There's so many books. There's just a proliferation of books telling you how to listen to God's still small voice. And I've heard these sermons. I heard one from Robert Morris, and it was so brutal. I was like, okay, then do what? Okay, but if this happened, then, okay, then? Okay, so you got to teach me. You've got to teach me how to hear the word of God? You have, all right, here's how I can know that I am hearing the word of God. This is what I'm going to do. I'm opening up this book. It's Ezekiel. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel. I know that's the word of God. Why? Because it's contained in the word of God. You just don't know, and they have to provide all of these rules. And then, but if this happened, but sometimes this can happen when that's going on. But if that happens when this is happening and that didn't happen, but this happens over here, then you should probably listen to that. Sorry, I'd like something more definitive. The people that used to hear from God audibly or through inspiration, that has ceased because we don't need it anymore. We have the Bible. You got anything else, Jimmy?
What you're saying, 2 Peter 1:19, we have the prophetic word made more sure.
We don't need anything more. Mm-mm. We got it all right here in this book. And that's why we dive into it. And that is why this book is our life. We are people of the book and nothing more. 877-282-2337.
This is from Bruce. He texted in, Todd, our pastor offers communion to all attendees at all three services, whether they're believers or not. I don't believe this is biblical, but would like your input.
Yeah, you know what? Take him to 1 Corinthians 11 and talk to him about the dangers of people that take the communion, the Lord's table, in an unworthy manner. What makes one unworthy? Well, not being a Christian, that would certainly make you unworthy. If you're not getting along with somebody inside of the body, you've got an issue. You've got to either resolve it before you take communion or you resolve to resolve it. When I'm done with this, Lord, I am going to make a beeline to that person. We're going to get this dealt with because you don't want any friction inside of the body because it's communion with union, with oneness. If you've got unrepentant sin in your life, I didn't say sin, I said unrepentant sin in your life, don't take it. Why? Some of you, because you have been unworthy in consuming the elements, are weak, sick, and some of you are dying. That is really scary business. So to open the table to anybody, that's a big no-no. Now, there are some people who close off the table to anybody who is not a member of the church. And you know what? I actually would be more sympathetic. I don't agree with that. I believe in a close table, but not a closed table. But I would prefer that over opening it up to anybody. When was the last time you heard this conversation take place? Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
I hear that you have been sick lately. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about communion. When you took communion last time, had you confessed all of your sins? Were you willing to repent of all of your sins? Mm. Was there somebody inside of the body? Were you in a fight with Charlie at the church that you didn't resolve? We don't do that. But that could be a reason. Sometimes people are weak, sick, or even die. We don't mess around with the table. Remember that great story of John Calvin when the bad guys were trying to come into the church to desecrate the table. Skinny John Calvin falls on it to protect it. Go ahead, use your sword, but you ain't getting to this table unless you go through me. What was he doing? He was protecting the table. Why? Not because there's power in the elements, but because of what the elements speak. It speaks of the broken body and the shed blood of our Savior. And that is a good word. And he didn't want it defamed or desecrated. And we shouldn't either. Don't open the table to everybody. You can close it off completely if you want to, but at least keep it close. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.